Here's what John McCain said last week when Barack Obama announced he was rejecting about $85 million in public financing for his campaign and the spending limits that go with the public financing system.
John McCain's campaign and the Republican National Committee are fueled by contributions from Washington lobbyists and special interest PACs. And we've already seen that he's not going to stop the smears and attacks from his allies running so-called 527 groups, who will spend millions and millions of dollars in unlimited donations.
And here's what John McCain said in response to that decision.
Millions of people have placed their confidence in him and his word, that his word is good. It's very clear now that at least in this instance, and this is a big deal, it's a big deal. He has completely reversed himself and gone back, not on his word to me, but the commitment that he made to the American people. That's disturbing.
So how disturbing is it to you? How big a deal is Obama's decision to opt out of the public financing system? Will it hurt his campaign or help it? And how concerned are you over this issue? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Monday, June the 23rd. And we will talk with one of our regular guest political analysts about Obama's decision. And we will welcome your reactions and questions for him. Our guest is Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, first of all, your reaction to Obama's decision, was that a surprise to you?
No, not at all. I expected for a long time that as soon as he had the nomination consolidated, that he would announce that he was going to go ahead and raise as much and spend as much as he could. So I'm not surprised at all by what he did, or by the editorial reaction to it, for that.
Yeah, the editorial reaction was very critical, including there were special interest groups and some other, Russ Feingold didn't like that very much.
That's right. I mean, certainly in the mainstream media, everybody was critical of the decision. Some people, for the same reasons McCain suggested, that this indicates an inconsistency that he shouldn't be allowed to just get away with, walk away from it. And others that, it's going to destroy the public financing system for presidential elections and that's a bad thing. So he took a big beating for a couple of days, and his people knew that they would. I mean, there wasn't any question that everybody in the New York Times, the Washington Post, et cetera, would say you shouldn't be doing this. But on the other hand, I feel fairly confident that his own people were saying, this is the first time in any of our political memories that we can go out and outspend the Republicans by 2 or 2.5 to 1. So let's take our weekend of bashing by the Times, et cetera, and then let's just bury this guy in cash.
Yeah, you figure it's over. The couple of days of bashing is over, and we're going to move on from here.
I think so. Now, it'll come back every now and then. It will be mentioned every once in a while, and I'm sure that John McCain would like to find an opening to make this into a question of whether you can trust Barack Obama to keep his word. I think McCain's problem in that regard is he opens himself up then to charges of precisely the same thing on some issues or questions that people care a great deal more about, on the Bush tax cuts and whether they should be continued when they expire in a year or so, and on drilling offshore. If you release a new environmentally sensitive ad on Wednesday and then go to Houston on Thursday and advocate drilling off the coast of Florida, that can be played pretty effectively by the other side, too. So if he starts into the trust and can you believe in people, he opens up an area of attack that I don't think he really wants to see the consequences of that.
Yeah. But is he right? Did Obama break a promise?
I suspect so, yeah. I mean, in the sense that he was expected to do this, and he said, if I remember correctly, that he expected to do that and that he would work with the Republican candidate to come up with a reasonable compromise. And McCain's campaign says he made no serious effort, and so we can argue for a day or two about what's a serious effort to reach an agreement. But I would tend to suspect this time that there was no real thought for probably the last 30 to 60 days that they would take the $85 million and pass up the opportunity to have all this money to spend and to use it in ways that they think will be building the Democratic Party for the future. I mean, I think there's a great deal of feeling that if they can spend the money in intelligent ways in a lot of places where the Democrats don't usually spend money, that they might win a handful of what they call down-ticket races, you know, state legislative races, congressional races, win some of those, establish the party in places it hasn't been established for a while, register voters who haven't been registered, that they can, you know, change the political landscape in a pretty substantial way, and that they couldn't walk away from that kind of opportunity to maintain a promise of sorts. Now, that's painting the prettiest picture on it that they can paint.
We're talking about Barack Obama's decision last week to opt out of the public financing system for the presidential election and the thumping that he took from many for that decision, because he had indicated earlier he wanted to work on an agreement to preserve a publicly financed election. So are you troubled or not so much by the news that he won't? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with UW Stevens Point political science professor Dennis Riley, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, June the 23rd. Coming up later this morning, Kathleen Dunn is with you. Kathleen Dunn and her guest will take a look at the top stories from around the country and the world in her All Things Political segment after 9 o'clock this morning. We're talking about a political issue this hour, the decision of Barack Obama to reject or not participate in the public financing system. Do you agree with Barack Obama or not over this? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Karen in Lafayette County is our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Jerry. This is very interesting because I was quite disturbed when I heard that. I have been looking at Mr. Obama as a candidate of change, and all the money that seems to get poured in from all the various sources seems to have been one of the things we needed to be looking at in this country. And by him saying this now, I have to wonder what else he's going to back down on. I mean, just because you're going to have more money than somebody else doesn't mean that all of a sudden you should change what's good for the country and keep running with it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he says that, you know, the 527 ads, they're not going to stop regardless. And, you know, I have to say the other people in support of Obama do the same thing, too. So I really am starting to think maybe he's not the candidate of change as he's been talking.
All right. First, does this run counter to that change candidate image, Professor Riley?
Certainly does. Excuse me. Certainly does in the short run run against that, in the sense that certainly the influence of money in politics is something that he has discussed more than once, and now he's in effect saying, but I would like to spend more than my opponent, and the only way I can do that is by raising greater amounts of money. And I can do it, so I'm going to do it. Now, I think Karen expresses a viewpoint that McCain wants to encourage, that some editorialists want to encourage, and that Barack Obama feels he can weather because he doesn't think there will be, one, enough people who will fall in that category, and two, that they will let that swamp over the rest of his change message. If he turns out to have made a bad gamble, that's going to be a real problem for him.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of people who believe what Karen just talked about very clearly. He's in trouble.
Yeah, he said that the system's broken. He thinks
mm-hmm.
that McCain and special interest groups that want to defeat Barack Obama will manipulate the system. And he's talking about those 527 ads. Talk some about his concerns. Why?
Sure. What he is concerned about, I mean, the classic that we all remember from 4 years ago were the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. And the argument, I think, inside the Democratic Party to a substantial degree is that John Kerry didn't hit back hard enough, fast enough, and maybe if he'd had enough money, he could have done that. I'm not sure it was a lack of money. I think it might have been just a lack of understanding the depth of the response that might come to those 527s. There's no question that Senator Obama's right that there will be such attacks. Now, what the money is for, of course, is to respond with you know, sort of overwhelming force theory, you know, the Colin Powell theory, just hit them with everything right away and go in and clean up afterwards. So he would be ready and able to respond if that kind of negative attack is out there. But the attacks will be there whether he takes public financing or not. What he's saying is, I think I can respond better if I have this sort of infinite war chest. Well, maybe. You can always respond better if you've got more money. The question is, and we'll always come back to the questions that Karen just raised, does this raise a question of the man's character? Does it raise a question that he is more of a traditional politician who says one thing and then says something else, depending upon his own political self-interest? If that perception gains traction, and I guess I don't think it will in the long run, but if it gains traction, it's a serious blow.
Mm-hmm. Also in the news over the weekend, MoveOn.org, that group that actually did come out with an anti-Obama ad, or anti-McCain ad, I'm sorry, just last week, says it's getting out of the 527 business now.
Right, and I think, I'm trying to think if I remember the name of another, but he has made fairly strong statements suggesting that he just assumed those groups didn't do things that were aimed at Senator McCain, that we try to keep it up at a different level. Whether he'll be successful at that or not, I don't know. And a lot of things depend on what else is floating in the atmosphere. You know, there's a sort of atmospherics to a presidential campaign. And if some 527 that McCain doesn't even know exists hits Obama in a particular way, then all bets might be off. You know, there's some kinds of people that will, you know, sort of say, wait a minute, that went too far. Mm-hmm. The only way to respond is to go too far ourselves the other way and swing the pendulum. I'm wondering in particular what will happen if there's a Jeremiah Wright commercial mm-hmm. by a 527. What if there are some attacks on Michelle Obama by a 527? Then will the liberal groups, even MoveOn.org, which has sworn off, will they come back and justify that by saying, you know, this took it to a new low and we're going to go down and counter it because we don't want to be John Kerry'd?
Yeah. Nana in Belmont is with us now. Hi, Nana.
Hi. I maybe misunderstood what the federal financing was. I thought it was to help those that didn't have enough to compete with the others rather than a cap on it. Which way is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have two very different campaign financing statutes going on. The presidential campaign public financing system, which is what Senator Obama said he would not participate in, is a fixed sum of money given out of the checkoff system. So each of us can check off on our income tax returns, yes, we want some dollars to go into that fund. And then that fund is divided equally between the two candidates. And so there's a certain amount of money, and then you are fixed. That's how much you get, and that's how much you can spend. But then we have the McCain-Feingold law, which came, you know, 30 years after the financing of presidential campaigns, which limits contributions and limits spending in other ways for all sorts of races, House races, Senate races, and even the presidential primaries. So we've got two very different things going on. And this was originally designed to level the playing field between the final two candidates once the Democrats had a candidate and the Republicans had a candidate. And it was basically a response to the 1972 election in which Richard Nixon had, you know, overwhelming money support over George McGovern, and in which we discovered a lot of that money had been raised illegally. So we said, let's level the playing field. Each side gets the same amount of money once they reach that point. And this is the first time a candidate has said, I don't want to play under those rules. I want to raise, and it's perfectly legal for what is legal to do what he did. The question is, did he go back on his word in a way that will affect people?
And he is able to raise a gazillion dollars through the Internet. What is it that Obama's doing that is so successful with his own private fundraising?
I'm not sure I know exactly what he's doing. But I know that he has reached a huge number of people who don't normally give money to political campaigns. Now, the first phase of his campaign when he was an unknown candidate was like anybody else's. He raised money in pretty good-sized chunks, you know, $1,000 contributions put together by fundraisers. And he'll still continue to do that. There was a meeting between his fundraisers and Hillary Clinton's fundraisers, and they're going to go after some of the big folks as well as the little. But there's a lot of, $100 or $50 contributions coming in, and a lot of it is he has a savvy internet team, a team of people that know how to get out there. Plus, he's exciting to people who are internet savvy people. Some of it is coming from the fact that he appeals to a constituency 25 to 35 years old, upper middle income. That's a set of people that he's done very well with, and that's a set of people that's internet savvy. So they run across this stuff, and they get into it, and they start sending the money. And they're excited in ways they have not been by the conventional campaigns of Al Gore or John Kerry, or in some cases they're just simply, they were too young to be engaged in those campaigns in a very serious way.
Yeah. Darren in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Darren.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I just have an opinion. Actually, he is taking public finance, and he just didn't take the government's handout, which is actually a good thing for change. And the way that he actually did it was slick, but yet he actually didn't go back on his word because he's actually accepting public financing. All of us little people are actually financing him, which kind of makes the Republicans look like monkeys right now.
Dennis Riley?
Well, that's a take that he would love to have spread all over. Mm-hmm. And it's one he tried to, sort of slip into the conversation himself. And in a sense, of course, it's true. I mean, the money has to come from people. It either comes from people saying yes on their tax returns, or it comes from people saying yes when somebody telephones them or gives them an internet email message or any of the rest of that. So the money has to come from people, and a lot of it is coming in fairly small donations. But when an individual checks on the tax return, it's a $3 or whatever it is for a joint return. Again, $4, I guess. It's not very much money that each individual gives, and each individual can only put in exactly the same amount of money. There are limits on how much a person can give to a presidential candidate, and most people will not reach those limits because they can't afford to reach those limits. So there's still the skewing a little bit, but he loves that idea that this is public financing, and in one sense it is. It's a broader base than any presidential candidate has had before in terms of the numbers of people. So we'll just have to see, Karen's views were very different.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to see which of those two sides prevails. Certainly among traditional Democrats, they may, as Russ Feingold did, raise an eyebrow, but most of them won't even go that far. The idea of a race where they outspend the Republicans, they're salivating over that opportunity.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue to talk about the implications of Barack Obama's decision to opt out of the public financing system for the presidential election. And we'll continue to welcome your reactions and questions about that decision. We'll also take a look at some of the latest news about the presidential campaigns. Barack Obama last week, released his first ad of the general election. We'll listen to that, and we'll talk about where the campaign trail heads this week, coming up after the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm Barack Obama. America's a country of strong families and strong values. My life's been blessed by both. I was raised by a single mom and my grandparents. We didn't have much money, but they taught me values straight from the Kansas heartland where they grew up. Accountability and self-reliance. Love of country. Working hard without making excuses. Treating your neighbor as you'd like to be treated. It's what guided me as I worked my way up, taking jobs and loans to make it through college. It's what led me to pass up Wall Street jobs and go to Chicago instead, helping neighborhoods devastated when steel plants closed. That's why I passed laws moving people from welfare to work, cut taxes for working families, extended health care for wounded troops who'd been neglected. I approved this message because I'll never forget those values. And if I have the honor of taking the oath of office as president, it will be with a deep and abiding faith in the country I love.
And that's Barack Obama's first ad of the general election. He's playing it in Wisconsin and other swing states, and even in some states that are considered red states or likely wins for John McCain. And Barack Obama will be able to buy plenty of ad time now, too, since he decided last week to opt out of the country's public financing system for presidential elections. He's giving up the $85 million in taxpayer funds and also foregoing the spending limits that accompany the public financing system. We're talking about that decision and other news from the presidential campaign trail with our guest, Dennis Riley, a UW Stevens Point political science professor, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Are you okay with Obama opting out of the public financing system? Do you agree or disagree with Obama on this one? What do you think of John McCain, who says Barack Obama broke a promise, broke a pledge, and we ought to question his trustworthiness? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So, Professor Riley, before we go back to the phones, what about Obama's decision to run this first ad in red states to try to get McCain to spend more money than maybe McCain would have had to?
That's the general idea. He wants to introduce himself. I mean, you can tell from that ad that he wants to get across an impression other than the one that some people already have of him, to show his roots on his mother's side and how, you know, American that is, since he has the different middle name that people occasionally point out. And he did spend time in Hawaii, which some people think of as a foreign country, and in Indonesia and so on. So he needs to introduce himself differently. As far as putting it in those places, absolutely. He wants to, as they say, change the electoral map. Can he carry Virginia? Probably not, but he might. Jim Webb did. Tim Kaine, the governor, and so on. Mark Warner will be on the ballot running for John Warner's Senate seat. So there are places where it just might work, and other places where it's a chance to build the Democratic Party, to make it a more viable party in certain parts of the country, and he thinks that's got to be a good idea, too. He needs to, I think, for himself, establish the idea that he really is a politician who can reshape the map, who can make us no longer exclusively a set of red and blue states, but a lot of states that are competitive, or purple, or whatever analogy or whatever metaphor you want to use.
Yeah, I know you probably don't have the figures right at your fingertips, but can you give us a sense of how much of a disadvantage McCain is at when it comes to fundraising? How much more Obama has been raking in than McCain?
Well, he's been bringing in more than McCain by 2 or 3 to 1 up to this point. And there's the wild card question of the Hillary Clinton supporters, the money side of the Hillary Clinton supporters. If they start to put money into his campaign, that changes the name of the game, too. Consequently, he could be looking at a 2 or 2.5 to 1 spending advantage for the time from the convention to the general election. And that would allow him to continue to run these ads and, in some ways, maybe more important, to fund a really extensive get-out-the-vote drive that registers people who aren't currently registered to vote, which is people certainly know how to do because they did a fine job of that in the primaries, register people and convince them to vote. Estimates I've seen are that there are 600,000 unregistered African-Americans in Georgia alone. Well, if half of them register and half of those people vote, that changes the Georgia political landscape. And even if he doesn't win, maybe one more Democratic House member wins, or maybe 5 more state legislators win. And so, and it's not exclusively the African-American community. There's all those young people that aren't registered. Well, he had great success with that earlier. Those are expensive propositions, get out the vote drives and registration drives, but they really pay off.
Back to the phones. Larry in Madison is with us now. Hi, Larry.
Thank you. The concept of Obama's original statement that he would take public financing was to avoid the influence that big contributors can have. He is achieving this goal. 93% of his contributors have contributed $200 or less. Also, he's taking significant and, I think, unprecedented measures to avoid the influence of big money. He's not taking PAC money. Also, he's discouraging his supporters from contributing to outside groups, what we often call 527s. These are big steps. Public financing does not affect these sources of funds. So he is largely honoring the spirit of his promise. Also, on that last comment about whether McCain or Obama is raising the most money, that looks only at what their individual personal campaigns are raising. But I would wager that by Election Day in November, more money will have been spent to elect McCain than will have been spent to elect Obama.
Yeah, and that's what Obama thinks too, or at least that those 527s will be putting a bunch of ads out against him. Professor Riley.
Yeah, there's no question he believes that, and I suspect that he's right to a certain extent that there will be such. I'm not sure I'm ready to concede that it'll actually end up being more money. John McCain is having trouble raising money now, and $85 million versus a couple of hundred million is a different game. Yes, there will be money spent on behalf of John McCain that will not be spent by John McCain. That's inevitable. It'll happen to some extent on Obama's side, but to a lesser extent, in large part because he's been so successful in convincing people not to do it, and also because people are excited about contributing to him. There are people who will spend money to make sure John McCain is in the White House, but not because they're so excited about John McCain individually, but they're afraid of a Democratic government.
Larry, thanks for your thoughts. Charles in La Crosse is next. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Riley. The implications, I think, could be significant down the road. Excuse me, Joy, I'm going to use a sports metaphor. If this was a heavyweight fight, I think Obama opened two cuts on himself, the first being a flip-flopper or a consummate insider running as a consummate outsider. I don't think too many people are surprised about a politician flip-flopping. However, he did do that to himself on a vow and a promise. Secondly, I think the more subtle thing that may play out longer and stronger is he couched his excuse of doing this as being a potential victim. We like to elect strong, powerful people to be president. And I think in a subtle, not well-thought-out way, this second cut of, I need to do this because I'm going to be a victim, may come back and be a larger cut that his opponents can easily use against him.
Yeah, Charles, let me hold you there since we have a weather break coming up. And Professor Riley, what do you think of Charles's sports analogy there?
Well, I think it's interesting. It would take me a little longer than I think I've got to answer, so can we
sure, we can wait until after we check the weather for Professor Riley's answer to that. Dennis Riley is a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point, talking with us about Barack Obama's decision last week to opt out of the presidential election's public financing system. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a reaction about this. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, looking forward after 7 o'clock to talking about the Wisconsin Way, an effort to try to lower property taxes in Wisconsin while still maintaining or maybe even improving our public services. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, talking with Professor Dennis Riley about Barack Obama's decision to opt out of the public financing system. And Professor Riley, Charles in La Crosse thought that Barack Obama opened two cuts, two wounds, that he is a flip-flopper and that he's a victim. Your response to that?
Well, those are both very interesting ideas. And I mean, I think, as I suggested earlier in the show, on the flip-flopping thing, I don't think that's going to be a big deal because most people are not that familiar with the public financing system for presidential elections anyway, or that concerned about how they're funded. So I really don't think That will be a big problem. And if that starts in, if McCain starts down that road, then come the ads about offshore drilling and tax cuts and so on. But the other question is much more interesting, or maybe not much more, but I think much more interesting. And I suspect what he's doing, maybe it will play out, as Charles suggests, that he's, you know, saying, oh, woe is me, they're going to beat up on me. But the other side of that, remember early on in the middle of the primary season, Hillary Clinton kept saying he hasn't been vetted, stuff is going to be thrown at him that he's not used to, but everything's been thrown at me all of my life, and I'm ready for all of it, etc. And I think in a way he's playing back to that and saying, you know, there is stuff lurking out there, not about me, but there's stuff they're going to make up about me. And I want the money to respond instantly and massively. And the $85 million won't do it, which is a funny notion that $85 million isn't enough to run for president on. But it's there. And I think he's maybe harking back saying, you know, it's going to come. Remember how dirty those guys got in 2000. Remember 2004. Remember what Senator Clinton said about what's going to happen in this election. Well, let's be ready for it. And maybe that'll work.
Thanks, Charles, for the call. Now we go to Joanne in West Allis. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, thank you. I'm not a strong Obama supporter, but I was impressed with this decision because I think in this case the end does justify the means, because he's not going to end up in the pocket of large corporate givers. And also I was impressed because when the circumstances changed, he was able to change his strategy. And I don't think we've seen that for 7 years or so.
What do you mean by the circumstances changing, Joanne?
Well, in order to have enough money for his campaign, and because he's got so many million contributors who all contribute less than $200, or the average is less than $200, I don't see it as a flip-flop at all. I think that that he's doing what's best for his campaign without being in anybody's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed the maturity to be willing to take a stand, knowing that he was going to have a rough weekend. But this was the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Professor Riley?
Well, it's interesting. I think, harking back, we really do see three different positions on whether this is going to hurt or help, or whether this is causing questions for people. It's kind of fun to watch, because it's exactly what we would have predicted, that some people will see it one way, some people will see it another way. And that's, in a sense, what he's counting on, that there will be more people who see it the way Joanne sees it than who see it the way Karen saw it, our first caller.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the Supreme Court decision that, affirmed that these outside groups could run these so-called issue ads?
Sure. A couple of different times. Basically, what the Supreme Court has said consistently, last 30 years or more, is that spending money for political reasons is protected by the First Amendment. And therefore, it's extremely difficult to draft any kind of legislation that says you can't spend money to advance a political cause. So what can you regulate? Very little, really. We can't even regulate the so-called issue ads during the final 60 days. That's even out now. So it's basically what you've got to do. If people want to say something politically and they do it on television, they can get away with it. There are some limitations, but they're very, very few. And the court is not going to permit it to go any other way. So an individual candidate can spend all kinds of money of his or her own. You know, they've just made those restrictions much weaker than originally intended by the legislature.
Yeah, and is that what Barack Obama was talking about when he said the system is broken?
In part,
mm-hmm.
And it's a very tough call, because the court has taken such a strong stand, and this court is not likely to take any different stand. And in a way, you can understand, because if you tell people you cannot spend money to advance a political cause, then what can you do to advance a political cause? Stand on a street corner and scream?
Yeah.
I guess. But if you can't spend any money on it, then can you actually advance that cause? And that's what the court's saying. I don't agree with it fully. I think limitations would be better than what we've got, but I understand where they're coming from and why they're saying we need to do something. So we're in a tough bind, and that is part of what he means by the fact that it's broken. Yeah.
Paul in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Last February, when this issue first came up, when he was raising all that money. And I read that if this is all based on that survey that was done, this Midwest survey, and the response that they gave, and for some reason, no one, and like this morning, neither one of you have mentioned the fact that part of that response was that he would enter into negotiations with his Republican opponent on public financing. And that is, all, and I mean, let's say through April and May, it was mentioned every now and then, but now it's never mentioned that there was, you know, a call for negotiations. And the reason the call for negotiations went out was because he wanted, you know, the candidates to agree on 527 money, that they would both say, no, we're not going to do that, and they would go to their supporters and say, don't support them. And since that agreement wasn't made, Obama said, well, I can't trust the Republicans. I can't trust my opponents, so therefore I'm going to take all this public money that I've been able to raise from small givers. But I think it's disingenuous to not mention his comment that was written that simply said, I will enter into negotiations. Does the professor believe that this changes the context of the argument?
Yeah, Paul, I guess you didn't hear us talking about that earlier. Does that change the context, Professor Riley?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know that any of us knows for sure what kind of, quote, negotiations did take place, because all the McCain campaign has said is they never entered into serious negotiations, and the Obama campaign has just kind of sloughed off on the whole idea of what those negotiations consisted of. I know that they would have had to deal with the 527 issue if they had negotiated at all about what they were going to do. I suspect the negotiations weren't very serious, because I suspect that the Obama campaign did say fairly early on, if we get the nomination and if it still looks like we can raise the kind of money we've been raising, let's just go. Let's just swallow the bad weekend and go for it.
Yeah, I don't know for sure what happened, but I heard attorneys for both sides met once, and that was it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. The pledge that Obama wrote in this questionnaire from the Midwest Democracy Network was to aggressively pursue an agreement with the Republican nominee to preserve a publicly financed general election. Granted, that did not say, I agree to take public funds.
Right. Yeah. It didn't. Although, you know, when you get into those kinds of word parsing things over something political, it's probably not terribly useful to do it. I mean, he knew that he might back out, but he didn't know that he would definitely do it, probably at the time he signed it. And it's worded just vaguely enough that he felt that he could get away with what he was doing. And, you know, I mean, I understand that, and I think most people do understand. Even if they disagree with his decision, they must understand that he just felt, here's a weapon that I can use on behalf of my campaign, on behalf of my party, on behalf of a whole set of progressive causes as I see them, and I'm not going to leave that laying in the dust over something I signed for the Midwest folks.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul, for the call. Kid in Comstock, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I think I'm just fine with this, with him going on his own. I'm 57 years old, a white male. I may not be the typical demographic for his campaign, but I contribute $25 for the first time in my life in politics, and I saw that turn into $258 million from other people like myself, and we want to win this election. We want to see some change, and, you know, I'll give another $25 and maybe more, and I wouldn't be surprised if he makes $1 billion. But people get to play a role in this, and it's individual people and not big business, and I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that'll happen, Professor Riley?
Well, I don't know how. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't have said a year ago at this time that he would outrace the Clintons by the amount that he did.
Yeah.
So there may be no real limit to his fundraising capacity in some sense. I don't know.
Speaking of the Clintons, I heard that Hillary Clinton will join Barack Obama on the campaign trail for the first time since the primary season this Friday. Is that going to be a big deal?
I think it could be. I mean, certainly it's going to make some pictures. I mean, there's going to be television coverage of that, local and national, because it is a symbolic act on her part to do something to make him the president of the United States. And I think it will benefit his campaign. I think if she really does campaign hard for him, that it reaches back to her base and her constituency, and it says that gracious, if slightly late, in some people's eyes, concession speech, was sincere. And if she proves that's sincere, that could affect her core constituency, and that could give him quite a boost.
Yeah. And in our final minute, though, as far as this issue is concerned, Obama's opting out of the public financing system, you think the worst of the criticism is over already?
Oh, I think so, yeah, mm-hmm. because it's just not an issue that captures the attention of large numbers of Americans. When people are thinking about their gasoline prices and they're thinking about food prices and they're thinking about all these other things, they're not thinking about how campaigns get funded.
Yeah, and we'll leave it there for now. Thanks very much for being with us. Dennis Riley, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Thanks to Karen Prager and Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, all you have to do is call the radio store at 1-800-747-7444 or listen to our talk shows anytime through your computer. They're posted, archived on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.